Welcome to another edition of The Week Ahead. I'm very excited that we're able to get this going.
Indeed. How are you, Andrew?
I'm very good. I'm very good. It's beautiful in London, very sunny day.
And woody.
And very woody, as you can see in the background. There was a kind of annoying tube strike going on. Oh. But I wasn't able to get to my doctor's appointment, so in the end, we were able to make this work. So quick timestamp. Friday, April 24th at 4 o'clock London time. So let's kind of dive right into, as we always like to do. So what stood out in this past week, whether markets, geopolitics, US politics, market reactions, Fed, et cetera?
So most important news is the Department of Justice dropping its lawsuit against the Fed. That means Senator Tillis is likely to remove his block on the nomination. Though the tweet from AG Pirro was a bit ambiguous, she said she could restart the investigation if the data warranted it, which suggests that even if Tillis drops his nomination, his block on the nomination, Powell is likely to stay on as governor because he said, I will stay on until the lawsuit is clearly unambiguously dropped. So making progress, in other words, towards a worse transition. And markets, of course, reacted well. Though I continue to think, and especially after the hearing, that actually Walsh is not going to be as dovish as market expects. He came across as a sort of instinctive hawk. I mean, he talked three times more about inflation and unemployment during his nomination. And, you know, he's a finance insider. He's probably much more worried about inflation and unemployment in general. So the market could be a bit surprised if we get him to become chair on May 15.
I had a question on that, which is, if I'm him, that's the exact playbook. You go in front of the, you know, the Senate and just say, oh, actually, I am totally independent. I'm not going to do whatever Trump says. So, like, I'm surprised why this is, like, any of this is a surprise, because he could get a nominated and then he can do whatever he wants.
100%. There is,
which is what I'm assuming he's going to do. Yeah,
because once he's appointed, he cannot be disappointed, and he's going to think in terms of his legacy. And does he want to go down in history as Arthur Burns of the 21st century Fed? Of course not. So, and besides, he has to contend with the FOMC members, the 12 voters. So he's just one vote. So I really think this issue has been a bit overblown.
Yeah, that would be my view. By the way, I'm not saying that he is going to be much more independent or not, but in going through the nomination process, I just assumed he was absolutely going to try and say the right thing, as most people who are going through it is going to say generally what they think is perceived to be the right thing, perceived to be the least controversial kind of set of thinking,
course,
would be my guess.
So, of course.
And then general, like, how markets have been reacting in the past week. Obviously, we're getting whipsawed with headlines in the war with Iran. But in general, energy, at least, has continued to head higher. So that seems to be consistent. But are you surprised by moves in the markets or?
Look at the S&P and I wonder, like everybody else. I mean, it's astounding for sure. Higher energy prices mean higher profits for U.S. energy companies. But over time, It's negative for growth. I think what's going on there is that economic time is much slower than market time. So the impact of the Straits closure is going to take a few months to show up in US economic data, especially since the US is not directly dependent on the Straits. In Europe, it's a different story. I think in Europe next month, we should start seeing economic data soften. And the other thing that's interesting but didn't surprise me at all is that the pass-through from energy, so we are getting higher energy prices, but the pass-through to the whole of the inflation index, it's been fairly limited. I mean, we saw that with the CPI, where core was lower than expected. We saw it with import prices. And, you know, I continue to think the US economy is soft. People don't have pricing power. So if energy prices go up, household income will take a hit, real incomes will take a hit, and that's it. There won't be inflation, there will be a bit of economic weakness. So far, households have offset the decrease in their real income with a decrease in the savings rate, which is already very low, and it cannot go forever. So that's why I continue to think that unless, you know, happy days, we go back to the pre-war situation, the Strait is fully open. Unless that happens, I think in the second half is when we are likely to see economic weaknesses. But markets are very short term. The news, the de-escalation news are good news. And that's the narrative, the dominant narrative at the moment.
Yeah. You know, I caught up with a friend who trades physical energy in Europe, and you know, he was highlighting, you know, where the U.S., of course, prices are going higher for energy, not gas really, but mostly not gas. I guess there's certain parts of California or other stuff, but there isn't perceived to be physical shortages coming, like real physical shortages, where in Europe, in the next kind of 3 to 4 weeks, he thinks that Europe and parts of Asia could see real actual physical shortages, which obviously would be a huge impact on the, you know, on the potential economy. I'm looking at like the University of Michigan sentiment, like these numbers continue to be like pretty decent, or certainly generally better than people thought in a lot of spaces. Like why are the numbers not weaker so far? It's going to take time to hit through the economy.
Well, I mean, if you look in absolute level, they are still quite weak. So they are not collapsing, but they are close to the historical lows. So I wouldn't call them strong. To me, the puzzle is more that they are not reflected in the spending data. I mean, retail sales this week were higher than expected. But consumer confidence, especially the questions on the labor market in that survey, people being asked, what is your expectation of unemployment for next year? The answer to that question are at levels that were in the past preceding a recession, so signaling recession. So there's something there with the psychology of the consumers. Fine. They are gloomy, but they are still spending.
Yeah. And then just while we're here, so what is your current view on the Fed for the rest of the year?
So my current view remains most likely, if we get a recession, the Fed will end up cutting multiple times. If we don't have a recession, we just have a benign increase in energy prices, the Fed will cut. But towards the end of the year, because it will want to make sure that there is no pass-through from energy prices to the broader index, to the broader price index.
Okay, so for right now, it's
what's pricing
is less than one cut. Okay, so you're kind of looking at like an a two paths. Like if we don't get a recession, we'd probably get one, maybe two cuts.
More like
Okay.
one. Basically,
Okay.
if we get good news cuts, it
Yeah.
means probably only one, because it's to reflect the lack of inflationary pressure, as well as to give a bit of support to the economy, because even, if energy prices remain where they are, it's going to hit the consumer. So I think fewer cuts and later, because the Fed will be more worried by inflation than if we have a recession. If we have a recession, people have no pricing power.
Right.
So, yeah.
Okay. And in a recession, obviously they could cut a lot, you know.
Yeah, I mean,
And what's your what are you handicapping the odds on a recession in 2026?
so at this stage, about 60% and 40% for the no recession scenario, based, and the 60% is based on the idea that the Strait of Hormuz won't get normalized this year, that we have a standoff between the US and Iran, that Iran's purpose is to get a better JCPOA, which is a deal they got under Obama, where in exchange for constraints on enrichment, they were going to get sanction relief, which they didn't get. And I think this time around, they want the sanction relief. They want also global acceptance of the toll, of their toll, and they are prepared to outweigh the US.
Right.
And I think the US has less capacity to take economic pain than
And
they do.
yeah. Okay. So we'll have to invite Baresh next time to join us, like we invited Antonio that time. So okay, and so let's and dive in for next week. What are you looking for? I guess there's no really prediction for things over the weekend, right? So who knows? Upcoming economic data, anything, or yeah, anything you wanted
My
to chat
best
about.
case is we get no escalation, because an escalation means, I mean, by escalation, I mean destruction of oil producing capacity and so on and so forth. The markets won't like it. Look at where the market are now, the S&P. That makes it very exposed to bad news. So I think my best case is we get this sort of a low intensity conflict standoff scenario. So no, I'm not expecting anything new over the weekend. Maybe more posturing on both sides. But so I'm more focused on the data for next week. And I think if the consensus is right, we're probably going to get a Goldilocks type of data, because we have PC, which the consensus expects at 0.3% month on month for core, which is down 10 basis points. But basically, the CPI showed us that there was no pass-through from energy to the broader price index. So probably getting a fairly tame PC.
Are you
Then,
surprised by this?
no, this is my view. The thing that surprised me was last year, when we saw wage growth continue to slow, despite 2.5 million immigrants leaving the US, and most of
Right.
them of working age. And this really shocked me, because I thought the immigration policies of the administration would really lift inflation through a tighter labor market. And it's not happened. Wage growth has continued to slow, and that's
Yeah.
why I've been so sanguine on inflation. And the thing is, the consensus agrees with me, because the other data point that's really important next week is the employment cost index, which is a Fed preferred measure of inflation. It's a of wage inflation, because it takes into account changes in the distribution of wages. And the consensus here is 80 basis points quarter on quarter, which means that year on year it will be 3.3%, which will be down from, I think, 3.5% in Q4. So again, we have fewer workers, but wage growth continues to slow. To me, it's a very strong sign that there are no inflationary pressure in this economy. And then a couple more important prints. So one is the first estimate of the Q1 GDP, which is 2% Q on Q, which is actually quite a strong number. So these together will make for a Goldilocks type of a macro backdrop. So we're probably going to see, further increase in the S&P. And the other data that I will look at is the PMI. I usually poo-poo the PMI, it
I know,
doesn't correlate, but here is why I think it's important this time around. Because there is one of the sub-indices of the PMI is the supplier deliveries. And if that index starts going up, it means that people are starting to experience difficulties with supply disruption. And I completely agree with your friend who is making this distinction between physical shortages in Europe and the US. But the US is still going to experience secondary shortages, like, for instance, if Taiwanese foundries find that they cannot get the helium they need to make their chips, then the US could experience chips shortages. But this is not for now. In fact, Virash has done a really interesting study showing that the foundries feel they are well supplied for a
I
few
saw that. It was
months.
amazing.
Yeah, a really great study. So that's why I'm thinking, the shortages hit the US after Europe and in the second half of the year.
Okay, awesome. Anything else? Or should we wrap it
No,
up? I guess
that's
get it on Tommy.
we will find out what we have the Fed, of course, which I forgot to mention, but it's such a non-event because they are going to be on wait and see mode. The bigger story at the Fed is going to be Chair Powell's reaction to the dropping of the lawsuit. Is he going to stay on as governor? Is he not?
Will he talk about it next week? No.
Well, he
Oh,
did
we don't
mention
know.
it. He mentioned it at the March FOMC. He said that he would stay if there was no confirmed chair, he would stay on as acting chair, which, by the way, is a matter of contention from a legal perspective. But in any event, he will stay on as governor until the lawsuit has been dropped in a clear manner that clearly establishes that he is not at fault. So all we got so far was a tweet. This is really the administration that governs by tweet. So a tweet from AG Pirro saying that she's dropping the lawsuit, but if she finds reason to restart it, she may. So it's a bit ambiguous. And let's see Chair Powell's comments on the tweet.
Okay, awesome. Well, obviously we wish everyone, if they're gonna see it now, a great weekend, and if not, on Sunday night or Monday morning, good luck in the markets. Obviously we recognize that things are extremely choppy. We're trying to really advise our clients in the best possible way of how to position or protect against, adverse impacts that could happen to their portfolio. So we're having a lot of discussions around that. But we are trying to prepare for, I guess, in general, like the combination of our views, which is we don't see a worsening in the situation, but as Dominic, as you'd say, we don't see a quick solution coming either. And no matter what, we see oil prices, or generally energy prices, probably staying a good amount higher than the street would perceive, or futures even would perceive. And from talking to people who, that like my friend and another friend that also trade physical energy, like there seem to be like real structural or infrastructure, you know, real issues around supply, and that probably will hold things higher for longer. So how to position, best position for that, is absolutely something that we're having discussions with the client. So with that, wishing you particularly a lovely weekend, and you know, and we'll chat on Monday.
Likewise, good luck everybody. Okay. Hopefully not on the weekend.
Yeah, cool. Bye.